Someone once said, "Where there are trees gathered, there are cryptids, ghosts, and fae, and probably interdimensional portals." It was me. I'm that someone. Up next, we have another round of missing 411 cases. So stay tuned, little Stardusties. You're listening to Star Queen Paranormal. Star Queen Paranormal.
Things are a bit off.
Align the stars with the bizarre.
Every day that makes you say, "Hey,
this is Star Queen Paranormal for the enthusiasts of the strange and the extraordinary."
Star Queen Paranormal. Hey there, all you cool cats and creepies. This is your supreme sentient octopus. Your stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder. Enthusiast of the strange and extraordinary. And the real reason... You remember Tom Cruise wearing sunglasses in that sock sliding scene in Risky Business.
He doesn't wear sunglasses in that scene. That's a Mandela effect, and I'm going to cover that in a future episode.
I am your hostess, Exie, the space pirate, Star Queen, the space pirate queen of the stars. And just a quick disclaimer, the point of this podcast is not to convince anyone that any of this is real, as life requires a healthy dose of skepticism. The goal, should you choose to accept it, is to present information for you to form your own opinions and ideas on some of the more curious subjects of our reality. Not to change your mind, but to broaden it. This is for entertainment purposes only, kids. Don't take anything too seriously. We certainly don't. Welcome to the very 17th episode. I am always super impressed that you kids have hung on for this long. So here's some quick stuff on the number 17. According to sunsigns.org, angel number 17 gives the message that whatever actions you are taking in life are the correct ones, and your birth angels are aware of your direction in life. You are advised to follow the course confidently, and you have the divine blessings and assistance in your endeavors. According to Sarahscoop.com, the numerology of number 17 has an important message for us. It's time to let go of things that are holding you back. Maybe it's a negative feeling or a limiting belief that you have about yourself. This could mean an old fear that's continuing to keep you stuck for no good reason. It could be a toxic person who is keeping you from your happiness and true love. Whatever the blockage is, know that it is time for a change. The number 17 brings clarity in order to let it go. Let it go! Let it go! Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. The 17th card in the tarot deck is the Star, which symbolizes hope, faith, purpose, renewal, and spirituality, according to BiddyTarot.com. And that's just some stuff on the number 17. I used to love the number 17 until that thing happened. My tragic past. No, really, there's a tragic backstory. But I won't bore you with that, because you're not here for me. You're here for the spookies. Speaking of spookies, we've got another missing 411 episode. Sorry, kiddos, I just love the weird disappearances, the weird getting lost in the forest stories so much that I'm probably going to do several episodes on the missing 411. Which actually, now that I'm looking at the stories, I'm not sure if either one of the stories I'm going over today is actually in the missing 411. So they're missing 411 adjacent. They're related because someone goes missing. And the tale is unusual, which we like unusual around here, but we don't like getting lost in the woods. But you know what we do like? Terrible Tarot! It's truly terrible.
Just real quick, I'm sorry about my voice. I don't know if it sounds different or not, but the plague hath befallen my house. And I have just recovered. 0 out of 10. Do not recommend. Wash your hands. And if you're into wearing your mask, please wear your mask. Because I do not want any of my Stardusties getting this. Anyway, why take my advice when you could be receiving advice from the cards?
The cards. Ooh.
For those of you who are brand new to Star Queen Paranormal, I call this segment Terrible Tarot. Now, why is it terrible? Well, you probably wouldn't pay me for this reading. However, if you'd like to, I do a monthly not-so-terrible tarot on Patreon, and you can find it at patreon.com/StarQueenParanormal, where I also have exclusives, too, for my exclusive Stardusties. But I am shuffling the cards. Terribly. That's a prerequisite for this segment. Quick shuffle. And your cards for today, my little Stardusties. The Tower. Strength. And the Page of Wands. Gaze deeply into the void while I gaze deeply into these cards. To decipher their meaning.
The future!
Or present. So today's terrible interpretation. I am seeing that you are currently experiencing a massive shift. Either in your world around you, or the way you've been thinking about things. The cards are advising you to stay strong. Tame the beast within. And don't be afraid to pursue and manifest your dreams again. And I don't normally do this part, but the bottom of the deck was the Two of Cups, which is kind of a lover's card. So I'm seeing whatever this pertains to is probably about love. Could also be health. There is a Caduceus on the card. Or maybe it's about a Leo. There's a lion too. Take what resonates.
The tarot reading is supposed to be terrible.
I warned you all.
They're all gonna laugh at you!
In today's quote, from whatever I feel like quoting, kind of relates to what I just quoted, actually. Anyway, the quote is, "Monsters are real, and ghosts are real too. They live inside us, and sometimes they win." That quote is from Stephen King, but my Stardusties know better.
You guys know. You know the secret. I tell you at the end of every episode that you are mightier than the monsters.
Today's bizarre headline is from August 16th, published in the Washington Post. A dog that had been missing for 2 months was found alive in a Missouri cave. When a poodle-hound mix went missing at the beginning of June, owner Jeff Bonart had all but given up hope of ever finding his dog Abby alive. As fortune would have it, 2 months later, Bonart received a text from his neighbor. People exploring a nearby cave found a dog. Could it be Abby? Bonart doubted it, but went to the cave site anyway. When he saw the pictures of the dog, he couldn't believe his eyes. That was his Abby. Not only was Abby nearly 14 in human years, which is a very long life for the goodest of dogs. But yet somehow, she managed to survive nearly 60 days out on her own, apparently much or all of it in a barren, pitch-dark, 58-degree Fahrenheit cave and 500 feet underground. Bonart said the dogs got out, as his rural dogs sometimes did, but when one returned without the other, he figured something terrible had happened. Jerry Keane and others were just as surprised to see a dog as they were exploring the cave. They said she looked nearly done for and knew she couldn't make the 500-foot walk back to the entrance. After a delicate rescue operation that took nearly an hour and a half, Through some narrow passages, Abby and Jeff were reunited. Bonart said she lost nearly half her body weight, but she's finally wagging her tail again, happy to be home. And you know we love a happily ever after around here.
And dogs.
And caves. And this, Stardusties, this is where I would put a listener-submitted story.
If I had a listener-submitted story!
Just kidding, you guys are great. But if you do have a paranormal story you'd like for us to read, you can email us at starqueenparanormal@gmail.com or send us a message on Facebook. As for me, I have some other business to attend to. Mr. Scott, beam us up. Be right back.
Hey! Welcome to Shamblefest!
I'm Jess.
I'm Amber. And we are your one-stop weekly shop for news shambles.
We're a weekly WTF and current events comedy podcast. We drop episodes every Monday morning. Tune in.
Shamble on!
And we're back. Now, for those of you who haven't tuned in to episode 10, or who just need a reminder, The Missing 411 is a series of books written by former police officer David Politis. The story is that while investigating disappearances, a national park ranger confided in Politis that disappearances from national parks tend to all go the same way. For about 7 to 10 days after a disappearance, there would be a huge search and rescue presence with lots of press coverage. And then following that first week, there seems to be an immediate halt to press coverage, followed by a discontinued search for victims and no explanation from authorities. And often the families wouldn't receive any closure at all or explanation. Politis began investigating unusual disappearances from national parks, and he identified 52 clusters in North America where people tended to go missing. And while I do want to emphasize that a lot of people are found or their disappearances have relatively logical explanations, David Politis' series discusses some of the more unusual disappearances, often with similarities in the circumstances of the disappearance. And I advise anyone who's curious about The Missing 411 to check out the book series by David Politis. And there are two documentaries, The Missing 411 and The Missing 411 The Hunted. The first one deals with children. The second one has more adults in it. So just a disclaimer for anybody who may be sensitive. But the two stories I'm covering today, I'm not actually sure if either one of them are in the Missing 411 books, but they deal with unusual disappearances and stories that are pretty similar to the Missing 411. This first story, I actually can't find anywhere else, so the validity of the story is up to the listener. Remember that we are totally okay with skeptics here. But it was posted June 16th, 2021 on phantomsandmonsters.com, and it is Missing 411 adjacent. It's not really in the Missing 411, but it's a story that would belong in the Missing 411. So it starts off with the family berry picking with their two little boys, both under the age of 5. One of the little boys goes missing. The post says, "There's an absolutely massive search, and they find nothing. It's another one of those cases where it's like the kid was never there in the first place. The dogs just sit down and don't pick up on anything. No trace of the kid is found." So the search goes cold, and eventually it's called off. So 6 months later, the family comes back to the forest where the first little boy went missing so that they could place flowers in the last known location of the little boy. So while the family is having their memorial for the first little boy, the second little boy goes missing. Now the family swears they had not taken their eyes off of him for even a second. It's like he vanished into thin air. And of course, you know, the parents are devastated because this just happened. And now they've lost both. So the second search is even bigger. It says it takes place in California, so it's one of the largest searches in California state history, according to this post. The post says there are about 300 volunteers combing every inch of this park, looking for the kid. But again, there's no trace of him. The search goes on for about a week. with people looking miles from the part of the park he vanished from. And then, almost 2 weeks later, a volunteer, almost 15 miles from the designated search area, radios in that he's found the kid. So when the volunteer radioed in, everyone just assumed they meant, like, they found the kid. They assumed they found the kid how you'd imagine after being lost in the woods for 2 weeks. But to everyone's surprise, not only was he alive, but he was in pretty good shape for someone who had been in the woods for 2 weeks. The post goes on to say that his clothes are clean. There's no dirt on him anywhere, and he doesn't appear traumatized. The volunteer says he found the kid sitting on a log, playing with a little twig bundle that's bound together with some old rope. She asks him where he's been, who he's been with for those weeks, and the kid tells her that he's been with the fuzzy man. The post goes on to say that the volunteer got excited, thinking he meant Bigfoot, because the volunteer is a big believer in Bigfoot. So the volunteer asks the kid to clarify, do you mean, like, fuzzy like hairy? But the kid says no, he wasn't hairy. He was a fuzzy man, and he describes a man that's blurry, like when you close your eyes, but not all the way closed. He says the man came out of the trees and took the kid with him deep into the woods. The kid says he slept in a hollow tree, and the fuzzy man gave him berries to eat. The volunteer asks if the man was mean, or if he scared the kid, and the kid replies, no, he wasn't scary, but I didn't like how he didn't have eyes. So the volunteer takes the child to the police, and the police have the same kind of questions for the kid. And she said the boy described being kept in this tree by the fuzzy man and given berries whenever he was hungry. He was allowed to wander around a very specific clearing, but when he tried to go further than the clearing, the fuzzy man would get mad and yell real loud, even though he didn't have a mouth. When the kid got scared at night, the fuzzy man made it get brighter, and he gave him the twig bundle that he was playing with when he was found. The boy also said that the fuzzy man was going to keep him, but he had to let him go because he wasn't the right kind. The kid would not elaborate on what the right kind meant. So police were left baffled, and the search for the other brother who was missing was renewed. But the little boy they questioned has no idea where his brother might be. And then the story is signed SR. Again, I can't find this story anywhere else, but it was definitely an interesting missing 411 story. And you can read the full story for yourself on phantomsandmonsters.com, which appears to be like a place where people can submit their own cryptid encounters and paranormal experiences. Definitely a place for a Stardusty to explore. So check them out. This next story did appear in the news from September 2012. It's about a 53-year-old woman named Linda K. Artega. A-R-T-E-A-G-A. So in September of 2012, 53-year-old Linda Artega went out to the woods with her brother, Eddie Huff. And different news sources have different explanations as to why they were out there in the first place. One source says that Eddie and Linda went out there so that Eddie could teach Linda survival skills. Other sources say that they were just out hiking. I think one source I found said that Eddie was actually showing Linda his favorite fishing spots. But in any case, somehow Eddie and Linda got turned around. And the story gets a little confusing after that. So about 3 days later, Eddie returns home, much to the shock and surprise of everyone, because they had just been looking for him for 3 days. So everybody asks, where were you? Where's Linda? Eddie was just acting like everything was fine, and he told everyone that he dropped Linda off with a relative. But the family called that relative and had not seen Linda. There were search parties still out looking for Linda. So as the family is questioning Eddie, it dawns on Eddie. He actually doesn't know how he made it home. He
didn't remember leaving the park, and he doesn't know why he thought he dropped Linda off at home with a relative. It's like those memories were put into Eddie's mind. But he has no recollection of being lost, or how he found his way home, or where Linda was. He honestly thought he had dropped her off. And so the gravity of the situation, the fact that she was still missing, started to weigh on him. So search and rescue continues sweeping the park, searching for Linda. And on the fifth day, she was found wandering around the woods. And much like Eddie, she didn't remember getting lost. She wasn't really aware of how long she had been lost, or even how they got separated at first. So she appeared to be suffering from the same kind of confusion that Eddie was suffering from when he first came home. So she was taken to the hospital, and she seemed completely fine, healthy even. And that's when she started to kind of remember some of the details of what happened. She remembers her and Eddie stepped off the trail to find a fishing spot that Eddie liked. And this is a trail that Eddie is pretty familiar with. So they stepped off the trail, and somehow they couldn't find their way back to the trail. They got turned around or something. But they were pretty confident that they were going to find their way out of the park that first day. Well, that didn't happen. So they spent the night in the woods, and they continued looking for the trail the whole next day. They were still turned around, still a little disoriented. They spent another night in the woods. And Linda recalls waking up that following morning, and for some reason, maybe it was dehydration, or just being disoriented for being out in the woods for a couple of days. But for some reason, Linda woke up that third day in a panic, and she took off running in the opposite direction because she thought Eddie was hurt. She thought he was injured and needed help. So she took off into the dense forest. No sense of direction. These woods are new to her. Eddie is the one who's familiar with the woods. And that's the same day that Eddie wandered out of the woods and went home, believing everything was okay. So Linda recalls calling for help, running and calling for help, just in these dense woods, totally alone, and maybe not even fully remembering why she's calling for help in the first place. And that's when she saw people in the distance, or what appeared to be a group of people in the distance, a group of hikers. So she's screaming at these hikers for help, trying to flag them down, yelling at the top of her lungs. And they all seemed to turn around, but they just looked at her, or looked in her direction. There was no indication that they actually heard her. There was no indication that they were planning on interacting with her. They were just watching her. So Linda kept running toward them, trying to flag them down. She says that when she got about 100 meters or so away from this group of hikers, each and every one of them scurried behind a tree, as if to hide from Linda. Linda, in her desperation, kept approaching these people. And when she got even closer, each and every hiker that was hiding behind a tree ducked their head out, peeked around the tree, and glanced at Linda. Linda's relief quickly turned into dread. She didn't know why, but she was suddenly thoroughly creeped out by this group of hikers. Linda backed away, and as she got further away, the hikers that were hiding behind the tree came out of hiding all at once and just continued to fix their unsettling gaze upon Linda, staring at her. No sense of comfort or safety, no words exchanged, no offer to help, just staring at Linda. How unsettling it must have been to be alone and lost in a dense forest. How afraid do you have to be to still choose to retreat from the safety of other people? Linda thought there was just something not quite right, and so she chose to continue being lost over approaching these people. She said that night, when she slept alone in the pitch darkness of the forest, she could hear the footsteps of people all around her, and it terrified her. She hadn't been terrified when she was with Eddie. Not like this. She felt like she was surrounded by people, and she was alone, but she felt like she was being watched. And early in the morning of the final day she was lost, she said the sun was starting to rise, and she was beginning to see the
outline of the forest in the early morning sun, like she had some clarity on the way out. So she began to move in the direction she felt was the correct direction to go in. The whole time, she had this distinct feeling, like she was being watched. Linda's terror grew and grew. Suddenly, she turns to her right. There, standing not far from Linda, was a tall, shadowy figure. Barely perceptible in the morning light, but looming. Linda could feel its eyes upon her, whatever it was. Linda was feeling alone and afraid, and the feeling of terror grew inside of her. And to Linda's horror, she sees another shadowy figure not far from the first one. Frozen in fear, she looks around her. These tall, shadowy figures, they were surrounding her, watching her. And as Linda is looking at all these shadowy figures, the shadowy figures realize Linda had seen them. They turn in unison and bolt into the forest in opposite directions, full speed away from Linda. And that was the day Linda was rescued by a volunteer on an ATV. Artega told the sheriff that she ate watercress plants and nuts while she was lost. And the official explanation as to why she saw these hikers who just stared at her and these shadowy forms that seemed to stalk her was that Linda's dehydration, combined with perhaps some toxic berries, caused her to hallucinate. But doctors have said that Linda wasn't showing the normal signs of someone who had been hallucinating off of toxic berries. Linda was lost near a stream, so she had fresh water, so she wasn't dehydrated. But other than her cuts and bruises from being lost in the forest, she had no other symptoms of hallucinations. There didn't appear to be toxic berries in her system. And the truth is, we may never know what Linda actually experienced, as it is Linda's story to tell. But whatever happened was very real to Linda. And so, Stardusties, what do you think? Do you think Linda was being stalked by some mysterious figures on top of the stress of being missing? Do you think the little boy in the first story saw a blurry person? Or do you believe that both stories are the byproduct of toxic berries? Or vivid imaginations? A child under the age of 5, perhaps. But what would a 53-year-old woman have to gain by lying the moment she is found, after she's been missing for 5 days? What do you think, Stardusties? Do you have any interesting, strange, or unusual stories about being in the forest? Do you have any other paranormal experiences you'd like us to share? We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at starqueenparanormal@gmail.com. Check us out at Star Queen Paranormal on Facebook and Instagram. Or drop a little coin into our piggy banks.
Treasure?
By donating to us at patreon.com/starqueenparanormal. Where, for as little as a dollar, you can access exclusive content for exclusive Stardusties such as yourselves. All while supporting a treasure gremlin in need.
That's me!
So, Stardusties, remember that if you go into the forest, take a buddy, a compass, wear red, let someone know when you're supposed to be back, and if you get lost, stay put, if you safely can. And if you can't wear bright colors because you're out hunting or something, they do make Mylar blankets for survival, but also they make some of them in bright colors so that rescuers are able to find you. And a lot of them fit in your pocket, but they can be used as a blanket or a shelter, protection from the wind. Anyway, it's just one of many survival suggestions that I like to add to the Missing 411 episodes.
Don't get lost, little Stardusties. I'll miss you too much. Your Auntie Exie loves you very much.
Always remember to hydrate and practice self-love. Never forget that you are mightier than the monsters. Until next time, on to the next phase in life. May your path be paved in starlight.
Continue existing as you would, my dudes.
And don't forget to practice self-love, okay? I love you, bye!